This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
Welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Imperial Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Whew. Put their way out there on U.S. Highway 88 in El Centro. In fact, I'm going to use them Monday. My cousin's daughter wants a two-door Jeep. Black, automatic, air conditioning, hard top. When can I get it? So we're going to throw that challenge out to...
I love my four-door, but at the same time, my two-door 97 YJ, the shorter wheelbase, it's so much nicer. It gets into 20, so many other areas.
It fits little tiny
crevices. And
she's like 23, 22, 23, 5 foot 10. This will be perfect for her. She just wants to go bop. She lives in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, she just, not that she wants to necessarily go off-road. Of course, I pitched, the Lost Lizard.
Of course.
So anyway, we're going to be chatting about them. But also, if you're out in the desert, Alpha Site Logistics for all your needs when it comes to portable toilets, hand wash stations, hand wash trailers, shade trailers, you name it. Just call them 760-352-8383 or for Facebook at Alpha Site Logistics. So you guys had a fun couple days the other day.
Didn't we?
Did you get wet?
I did.
Did you get wet?
I did.
Yes.
I definitely got wet.
A little wet?
I was riding in the rain. I loved every minute of it.
I was camping in the rain. I loved every minute of it on the beach with the bonfire.
Oh, yeah.
It poured at Oceano.
I want to hear about Oceano, the cleanup, the people, the place. You were just there.
Oh, yeah. Last weekend was my first time going to Pismo Beach, Oceano Dunes, in a little over 15 years.
Wow.
But then my husband and I were talking. He hasn't been since he was almost 8-9 years old. He can't remember. So I think almost 35 years for him since he's been. But it absolutely amazing. But at the same time, heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Absolutely heartbreaking. Saturday at the cleanup was... gorgeous. It was a beautiful day. Couldn't ask for better weather. It was sunny and nice, and we had no wind, and I got to drive up and down the beach myself in my Jeep, which was
epic.
I've never driven on a Jeep or on a beach before, aside from down in Mexico on an ATV.
Did you go sideways?
I didn't do anything. Well,
could you write?
15 miles an hour on the whole beach, so you can't
do that. Write dirt radio. Just right in the sand. Just
Ken Block status over here.
We gotta get you some training.
Throwing it down.
We gotta get you some training. So, all right. No. So you got, wow, I bet that was epic.
Yes.
Because, we talk about it. How many years now have we been talking about it?
At least three.
So how was the living conditions? Did you sleep on the sand?
On my cot on the sand.
Well, of course,
But I did lay on the sand, and I did play in the beach with the girls. And
you listened to the ocean the whole night.
It was nothing like that.
Yeah, you can't.
It's different. Because here, when you go down, you can go down to Coronado or you go up to San Alejo or whatever, you're on the asphalt above the beach. Correct. And, you know, you might have a dirt pad maybe, but it's a man-made dirt pad that was put there for you. It's not the beach. It's not the same. And $10 a night, literally the whole weekend for 3 days on the beach was $37 altogether. Because okay.
So let me ask you this for the people that don't know, can't see it. When you think of a asphalt campground that you see, like when you go down to the Strand, I think you can Coronado. Mm-hmm. Is it that type of camping at Pismo on the sand? Do you have little slots, or do you just
pull up anywhere you want? It does not matter. You pull in where, just like at Glamis, just like out just, in in the Imperial Sand Dunes. Doesn't matter where you are, you pull in and set up and
you
park.
Get a pretty good, decent little living area.
Well, whatever you bring to set up, you got to bring your own setup. However, you're going to do it.
Put the poles out there.
Well, we didn't have poles.
What did you have? Rottweilers?
No, I don't.
Put them on a short leash. Keep them out of your.
I had 19 Rottweilers.
I've tried to find jobs. Okay, so all right, so God, that just sounds really cool.
It was absolutely amazing. So Friends of Oceana Dunes welcomed us. Point Magoo 4x4 Club had a camp out, their camp out. So we camped with them, with Jared and Randy and Roy and Chris and just Paul and Stacia. Absolutely amazing club. Absolutely amazing people. They helped do the cookout and host the whole thing, put it on.
Well attended.
There was definitely over 100 people that had shown up for it, and that were out for the cleanup part of it. And you know where the trash is. That's there.
Jeez, I couldn't imagine.
Along the fence lines. So it's not. There wasn't much on the beach, even though there was just a big storm surge and everything. There wasn't much to. It was all in the fence lines.
So what kind of trash was that? Like, was it from campers or did it come from someone else?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say campers, windblown trash, just same as our deserts on our dunes here. It's the windblown trash that gets out.
And you can't track it unless they write their name, address, phone number.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the orange fencing, which I think is trash, was everywhere as well, and that was really devastating to see.
Is that plastic stuff you get at Home Depot?
Yeah.
It's like,
what was it
they
for?
They couldn't choose a better color. Like, it's they could get black or brown.
So they've been installing this orange fencing for I don't know how long, but years. I want to say 5-6 years that I think I've been aware of.
You know
where
why?
they're taking 30 acres at a time, 40 acres at a time, and they're installing these rows of this orange fencing, and it's supposed to be for the quote unquote dust mitigation, and
reduces dust blowing out of
the area. It reduces the dust. Honestly,
not very well.
I don't see how that concept, driving by and seeing it and look at that.
I would like to see
logically,
a wind
how does
test.
That
I want to
work?
See a wind tunnel test. It'd be real easy to replicate because they had to do a wind tunnel test.
There's more than a wind tunnel test. There was an actual, and we've talked about
this. Wait a minute, you know all about this stuff.
There was a study by Scripps Institute of Oceanography on the dust in Oceano Dunes, Pismo area.
Right. Yeah.
And we've talked about it on the radio before.
Yeah.
So it came out a year or so ago, and it refuted the studies that the Air Pollution Control District did.
Mm-hmm.
It refuted it. The air pollution people said it was a lot of dust from off-road vehicles.
Right.
And the Scripps study said that out of all the particulate, 14% of it is actually dust.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it is water and salt.
Yep.
Wow.
And out of that 14%, some of that is off-road vehicle caused.
Right.
We're not sure how much, but some of it.
But at the same time, there was another study that also said that the closure that happened in 2020, 2021, when they wouldn't allow anybody on the beach,
the
dust
COVID
was
cluster.
Worse off than when they allow us on the beach. Because it's amazing. You know, heavy vehicles on the beach are packing it in, right? It's amazing what that happens, right? The logic is
especially
just not there.
Especially when you have hundreds of thousands of people packing it in.
Exactly. I just don't understand.
No,
so
there you go
thinking that you're supposed to think that they understand.
Yeah, and then it was really sad because there was a group out with some state parks representatives, and it looked like it was a conservation group. And it was near the entrance where they allow camping, because you can't camp right off the bat. It's you have to go down the beach about a mile to get to where they allow the camping. And then that's between pole 2 and pole 4 is where they allow it right now. And or at least that's what they told me, but I guess that just got canceled and you can go all the way to 6 now. But they, I just lost my train of thought.
Can we get it back after the commercial?
Oh yeah, we have to take a quick commercial break anyway.
But you don't remember what you're going to come back to.
I do.
We'll work on it when we get right back. This is, this is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, this segment is brought to you by Fire and Ice Heating and Air. Well, yeah. I tell you, good family-owned operation, been
Justin
doing it forever.
Justin and Kathy.
Pardon? Yeah, you know
Justin and Kathy, yeah. They've been to many SDORC meetings, helped put on Lost Lizard Fun Runs, Desert Safaris.
That's awesome. So, hey, if you're into looking for HVAC service at your home, then do us a favor and choose the folks that support this show and Keeping the Deserts Open.
Yep.
That would be Fire and Ice, Heating and Air. Call 1-800-400-FIRE, 1-800-400-FIRE, or just go to fireandicevac.com. And Wayne Miller Tire, Wayne Miller Tire. Has expanded his horizons. You'll now take care of your whole vehicle bumper to bumper, not just sell you a set of tires. Audrey uses him religiously. She hasn't had any stories lately.
I know I do. I actually do. I didn't see you last weekend. So 2 weeks ago, my Jetta tire blew out at 80 miles an hour on the freeway.
And we just drove it back another 110. It wasn't a problem.
You mean, you know,
it wasn't really blown out. So, and I was only a mile because I blew out. Like, it was literally right in front of his shop on the 67. So, you know, I pulled over and I checked it and I was like, you know what? I can limp it off the freeway. So I limped it off the freeway and then checked it again. And then I actually just kind of limped it down to Wayne's.
And they just came in and said, here she comes
skidding
again.
Into his parking lot.
But if you ever need anything tire wise
smoking into his parking lot. The tire was, you literally know, you could smell it.
Yeah, her idea creeping back was 70. Okay, instead of Audrey's the normal speed limit.
It was like 8. But
so we were talking about Oceano Dunes. And by the way, I have 9 items I could
talk about.
Now, did you go up? Did you go up there too?
I didn't. No, I did other stuff.
I went to
Mojave Trails National Monument, and I rode Beta motorcycles.
Oh,
and I had a ball.
But let's finish Oceano.
We need to finish Oceano really quick. Yes, because there's.
What I was getting to was the conservationists that were actually working with state parks to plant some more of the dunes while we were there on Saturday the 28th to do the cleanup right behind where we, you know, where we were camped at, which is a main entrance into the dunes, the one area that you can ride at because they have fences everywhere. And then here you are on one of the main entrances in. They have, you know, another 30 acres fenced off that I posted pictures of, and there's like 30 people on this hillside, and they're going through and they're just planting this beach grass or you know, which is not native to the dunes, but they think it will help reduce the dust. So yes,
I keep forgetting it's all about the dust.
All about the dust and reducing the dust. So, you know, you've got state parks that's happy that they're taking away our riding area, and you know they're proud of
they have this completely different agenda.
Yes,
then never mind the 2 million people that go there that want to go camping and off-roading
in a safe area.
There's a small but very powerful group of people that want to stop off-roading anywhere they can, and they're knocking off acre by acre. They're planning stuff.
It seems like every month it's another 30 acres.
It's not in my backyard mentality.
Yeah, because there was brand new fencing. There was a brand new 45 acres that was just put in of about 20 rows of orange fencing.
Right.
I posted a picture of. And then there was, you know, this group where they had another 30 acres, you know. So 2 months ago, we lost 45 acres. Mm-hmm. And then here we are 2 months later, another 30 acres gone.
I don't understand their justification. So,
well, it's because they can.
There was there was a meeting about Oceano Dunes that the State Parks Off-Highway Vehicle Commission put on, and it was called an ad hoc meeting. And I believe that means that it was for one specific purpose.
Yeah,
and
Tuesday they were just the 24th.
So it was the commission looking at Oceano Dunes, and people from the public were going up. And the two of the hardest-hitting question-asking people were Jim Sooty and Jared
McLeod,
excuse me. Sorry, Jared. And they were asking questions. They started it about dust. They wanted to talk about dust, and they talked about that dust study that Scripps did. Well, a couple months ago, the peer review was completed on that study. So in science, when people come out with a study and it's something new and different and it changes the way we look at stuff, they want to make sure that that study is credible and accurate. So what they do is they have what they call a peer review. So scientists who are similar in stature to the ones who did the study will review the study and make sure that all the different steps were taken properly. Mm-hmm. So the study was peer reviewed and it was agreed upon. They said, yes, this is a good study. And that happened in October or November a couple months ago. So when that study first came out, they said, well, it's not peer reviewed, so we don't need to listen to it. But now it's been peer reviewed, and so it's really a strong study. It really makes a very potent statement, argument that this whole dust thing at Oceano Dunes is not relevant.
It's illegitimate.
It's not legitimate. And I don't know what it's going to take. I don't live up there. That's not my home thing. But I think Jim Sooty and Friends of Oceana Dunes are going to really have something to say.
Oh, they're not going to stop.
They won't stop. Thank goodness. But they went up. Jared and Jim went up and took turns asking questions, hard hitting questions. And they really put those people on the spot. And it was almost uncomfortable watching it. And boy, those people from State Parks were really uncomfortable.
No answers to anything?
No. And they had the dust guy up there and they were giving him the questions. And he's like, oh, I'm going to have to research this, blah, 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 blah. So that guy was really nervous.
Probably new on the job, been there 3 days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they threw him to the wolves.
I'm going where?
Yeah.
I live at the beach.
So that...
You can download that and you can watch that Zoom meeting, right. Because it was also a Zoom meeting and people in the public were also able to ask questions and there were some heavy hitters there as well. I believe on this one, surprisingly, I believe there was more pro off-road than negative.
I agree.
And really? That's the first, because most of these meetings, we have more opposition against us that are attended and shown. And it seems like that they allow through on the Zoom call than for what I've seen in the past anyway. Because you have to, when you register for these Zoom calls, you have to say whether you're for, whether you're against, what you want, what your potential comments are going to be, so that they know what they're going to expect from you.
Right.
So they know when they're clicking on you, whether you're going to come at them, you know, with some hard hitting questions or not.
They're also verifying who you are.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Because you know, anybody can say, I'm Audrey Mason.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no
one else can be Audrey Mason. Audrey's one in a million.
No, I didn't say be.
They can say.
But, you know, no, it's.
So this meeting went. I stuck it out for 2 hours. And when for 2 hours, they talked about dust. They also wanted to talk about habitat and some other stuff. And those were less controversial. The dust was the big one. So I made it through the dust. And
well, I could go into the habitat part of it, because this comes back to, and I said this, you know, three and a half, 4 years ago, I think, even on radio, that we've been doing this. Now, habitat, they bring in part of the dust mitigation, these bales of straw. and they lay down bales and bales and bales of straw. And here they had a machine that was blowing it and shooting the straw out, right? So all these straw particles are going out into the air. Plus, you're bringing all these bales of hay. What do the bales of hay bring? This is supposed to be for the snowy plover protective area. It's right next to the preserve, right? But they're bringing in hundreds of bales of straw for dust mitigation. What's in straw? What lives in straw? Rats and mice. Man. What do rats and mice eat?
Oh my God, you're kidding.
No. They're, so
they
you want
to rats and mice in there to go find the snowy plover eggs.
Is that like taking taking people who have, you know, the virus to an old folks home? I don't know.
That could be construed as bringing, there's a term called take. Yeah. And when you disturb an endangered species in any way, that's referred to as take. And just the act of bringing hay bales with potential little critters like that could be construed as take. And maybe we should remind, talk to Jim Suti about that. Would that make a good suit?
That's where you find out the true meaning of what's going on.
Yeah.
They don't
care about those little flowy clover thingies.
No, it's just about
they could care less. It's all about.
And by the way, the birds are doing better right by Oceano Dunes than anywhere else in California coast.
In Oceano Dunes, not even in the preserve, which is right next to it. They're doing better in Oceano Dunes than the state vehicular park. Let me finish that statement. Than the preserve, which is literally right next door. So. We take our dogs with us everywhere. So I had my mini Aussie, and my mini Aussie just wanted to herd the birds. You know, he would never hurt them. He doesn't hurt a fly. He literally noses it and helps it. He's the sweetest little thing. I'm like, you know, my husband goes, we're talking about it. He goes, why don't we just get some herding dogs to herd the snowy plovers back over into the preserve? Like,
you'd be on the news.
I know.
The big reason those birds are doing so well is off-road vehicle money is being poured into the place to help those birds.
Hundreds of thousands of our dollars to protect them.
And if that place ever closes to off-road vehicles, that money's going to dry up. And I think the birds are going to do a lot worse. Yeah. So I think that's a backwards step for those poor guys.
Yeah, well, I know some big lawsuits are going to be heard in the next few months here, I believe.
March
is going to be the first one, and then April, and then May and June. I know that Friends' schedule's really busy. I was seeing if they can come to TDS, and they, you know, there's just too much on their plate right now with the lawsuits and what they have to do. So I'm really excited to see moving forward where we're going to end up at and how it's going to play out. Really feel strongly, you know, Friends of Oceano Dunes has won the majority of their lawsuits, and they have very
great,
strong
great
evidence for the disclosure of what for the next coming lawsuits. So I'm very excited. My faith is with Friends, and my money is with Friends.
And you had a good
SDORC
time.
Just donated $5,000 for the lawsuits. We did a thing. They thanked us and did a big thing for me at Oceano Dunes last weekend. So that was really nice. And
nice.
Yeah. You know, every little bit helps. You know, if you can donate, you know, I pay. I think it's $20 a month to be a member.
Did you stay in the VIP sandpit?
I did with Point Magoo 4x4 at the bonfire. It was awesome. They know how to throw a bonfire on the beach, man.
I bet.
It was awesome.
And it was no pallets.
No, absolutely not. Nope, burn. All wood. Because
you would have been standing there with
they
your
got
handy little magnet just waiting.
Nope, they had some nice wood there, though.
You probably had a good time.
It was great.
Since you hadn't been in how long?
15 years for me and 35 for my husband.
Jeez, lovely. So did it change much?
Drastically. It's so much smaller than what I remember it being.
Oh, and it used to be so big.
It's really sad.
When you were a kid.
And it's a bunch of small, you know, my husband's like, it's all small to medium dunes. There's no big dunes anymore because they take you out. You don't get to go back into their little bigger section, which their big section is, you know, the small dunes and Klamath.
Exactly. So, all right, let's take a quick break. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
That was Audrey. She is back from someplace. And we got Ed, who's also back from someplace because we can't keep track of him. But first, BRMI Mortgage. If you ever get yourself in a situation and need somebody that knows what's going on in the world of mortgage, Chris Wiley is the man. 619-722-1303. He's been doing this for more years than I care to admit. So definitely, before you make a move, you give Chris a call, and he will give you all the advice you need to make the right decision. Also, S&S Off-Road Magazine. I think that today or this week was the last day that you can enter some photos. If you're into photos and you want to share your adventures out the desert, then you need to go to
Think you have one more week.
I think it's usually the 10th.
Yeah, I think.
That's over. Today's, what, the 5th?
Yeah, 5th. I think it's over, too.
It ends about the 25th of the
month. All right, so do it. Go to...
It ends near the end of the
SSORMAG.com.
The 15th is the next deadline for...
All right. That's Ed. He's talking on top of my commercials. Yeah. That's okay.
That was a great commercial.
We will have Ed send a check to Sherry for $3,482. Make sure it's in your good checking account.
We can take it out of my fund for all the articles I sent her over the years.
Touche.
So on last Saturday, I started in Barstow at some hotel there, and a group of people who are on the Mojave Trails National Monument Advisory Group. We went out into the desert to look at some areas that we want to talk about how the area is going to be managed.
That's
in the management plan.
Bureau of Land Management Desert Advisory Council for the Mojave Trails.
Yeah, he only knows.
So we're a Desert Advisory Council subgroup.
Yes.
So
specific
for the Bureau
for this
of
area.
Land Management.
District 37.
What'd you ride out in?
Well, he had to take his van because he had to take his motorcycles,
I took my van.
Oh, did they let you take the bike, or was it a bike event?
This was like a driving. I left my van in Barstow, mm-hmm. and I got in with Randy Bannis into his Jeep, and we had 6 vehicles and 12 people.
Gotcha.
And we drove out.
All
capable of
going
out. We drove off in different
out.
Places, and we'd stop, and we'd stand around, and we'd talk about why this is an interesting place within the management plan. And we went to an area called the Cadys. That's a mountain range. And we drove up to this place. It had a very spectacular view. It was this is a really beautiful place. And I get...
What state were you in?
This was California.
Okay, just double check.
So it was about an hour northeast of Barstow.
Okay.
And then we headed...
I think you did mention that.
And then we headed southeast, so we turned right. And the Mojave River was running. It was a trickle, but there was actually water flowing in the desert.
That's pretty amazing.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And a guy who was a rock hound, he sort of led the way. And this is a guy that collects rocks, minerals, and gems. They know places. So we went to a place that has a lot of that stuff. And what they're going to do with those in the management plan is under contention right now. Because some people don't want to allow any collection, and other people want to be able to collect stuff.
Well, yeah, I would be devastated. I mean, just if you go down to El Centro in Imperial, just past Tumco has a geode area where literally like every foot you can find a geode on the ground. Granted, no, I don't take all of them, but I find a couple of nice ones and I take them each time I go.
So this guy, Gregor, led the way, and we stopped in a couple places, and we stopped and we got out and we're standing and they're talking, and I look down at the ground and I pick up a rock next to my foot, and it's a geode. And like you can see inside the crystals, like little... I don't know. They're like an eighth of an inch in diameter by a quarter inch long. There's like a whole group of them in there, like at an angle. It's just was really beautiful.
Now,
that was right there.
Did you put it back down?
Of course.
Okay.
Down in my car's
floorboard. He brought it for me.
Did he bring it to you?
No, I get it on Tuesday.
He's just talking about it.
I got it. It's a beautiful place. And we drove to a couple spots and we looked around, and they had another tour on Sunday, but I didn't go to that tour. What I did is I got in my van, and I drove to Anza to Moto Ventures facility where the gate was locked. So I slept in my van outside the gate. And Sunday they had a beta motorcycle test ride. So Steve Grebe from C&D Cycle Center hosted a test ride. He went up to LA and got 8 beta motorcycles, brand new 2023. They had the 300X Trainer, 200, 250, and 300 two-strokes. And then they had the 350, 390, 430, and 500 four-strokes. And all the four-strokes are street legal. And they had them lined up, and they had, there's about 50 or 60 people, and you get in line for whichever bike you want to ride. I rode all the bikes, and then I rode the 250, 430, and 500 multiple times. And what they did, they laid out a single track loop about 3 miles, takes about 8 minutes to go a lap, and you ride the bikes and see what you think. And it was just, I was a kid in a candy store. I was so happy. I just go, oh, I'm going to try this one. Oh, I want to try this one. And I loved them all. I didn't love them all equally.
All right. So before you go any farther than that, who are these people? Who is this company? Where are they built?
So Beta is an Italian motorcycle manufacturer.
How long have they been on this planet?
So the manufacturing, so the company started in 1904, and they started making motorcycles in 1948. It was a post-war.
Did you know about Betas?
Oh, yeah.
Before all this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've ridden Betas for years.
Desiree's bike is a Beta 250.
She's 300.
Wow. Oh, so she's 300?
She's got 300. Yeah, well, Beta makes trials motorcycles, and I used to ride trials.
Okay. So then
and Jordy Torres was their guy. They make, yeah. And I was a little disappointed they didn't bring a trials bike because they make outstanding trials motorcycles. So, like world champion, numerous world championship trials bikes.
All right. So, okay. So you got a chance to ride them all. What's the price ranges, say, from the street legal? Let's just stay on the street because the people that go off-road.
From high 8 to maybe 13,000.
That's doable. That's not bad at all.
They're right. I think they're a little cheaper than Husqvarna's.
Okay.
And KTM's.
And they're
very competitive.
Are they a dual sport? Do they have a dual sport?
Yeah, all of those.
The four street legal ones.
Okay. They're a dual sport strokes. Bike. Okay.
The four strokes were street legal.
So that was the 350, the 390.
The 430 and the 500.
Which one did you like?
Well, I went there expecting to like the 300 two-stroke and the 390 four-stroke. Those are the ones I anticipated. The 300 is a very popular motorcycle in off-roading. And Steve did the Nora Baja race on a 390, and he loved that motorcycle. He said, I can't believe how much I love that bike. So I rode all the bikes. My third favorite was the 430, which was a really nice motorcycle. It was just a well put together bike. It had some chug power and it revved pretty good. My second favorite, which was a total out of left field, I never thought I would have loved this bike so much, was the 250 two stroke. That was a great motorcycle. I liked it a lot more than the 300. It was easy to stay on the pipe. It had crisp power. It had great handling. The 300 was a little boggy, it seemed to me. And I mentioned that to Steve and he said, well, you know, we can adjust the power valve and we can make it run any way you want. Like, oh yeah. But we didn't stay there and make the adjustments and work.
You hadn't wrote a check yet.
So yeah, exactly.
Then they'll do it.
First favorite, which really caught me off guard, was the 500. I like that big bore. It had a lot of bottom end power and I could go really fast, really easily on that single track.
Right. So
that's the first bike I rode. Yes, Steve?
So let's go back to the one where you weren't real happy when he said he could adjust the power.
The 300.
Would that make that bike any better if that could be that problem was eliminated?
I may have fallen for that one.
So
if
then,
it was
running
crisp.
Okay. So, no. How many do you have to have out of the group? All of them?
What do you mean? Do I have to have?
Yeah. Which
ones you have to own each and every one of them.
I would like to have the 250 and the 500.
Wouldn't you just like to have them all?
So I rode the 500 first. And after I finished, I went over to Steve and I said, that thing, the suspension's kind of harsh. Do you think you could turn down the compression damping? Which is really easy to do. It's a little knob.
Yeah.
And so after I rode them all, I went back and Steve said, hey, I adjusted the 500. So I rode it again. And the first time I rode it, it was a little harsh. The second time I rode it, it was just wonderful. Like, now I need just to own this motorcycle.
Just absorbed everything.
It was smooth and fast.
How many are we up to now? Two, three bikes?
Yeah. How many does he own? You know, it was when we were downstairs and you know, we got to talk because I asked. I wanted to know how it, but for some reason I forgot he was going to beta. I thought he was doing an e-bike thing. But when he said beta, I was like, oh, what did you ride? And then
neat motorcycle.
Any off-roading?
It was a single track dirt? Through the, yeah, all dirt. Decomposed granite, and it was light raining the whole time. And decomposed granite improves when it's wet.
Right.
Like,
right.
It doesn't get slippery. Right. It just gets better. So there was trees and bushes, and like, there's some big rocks you could ride over.
Yeah.
It was second gear for most of it.
But the fact
small
that
bores, I shifted more.
He wanted his Husqvarna for like a year or two before he bought the 501 FE. And then downstairs, my heart broke because he goes, I think I'm going to sell the 501 to get the 500.
You're
going to sell the Husqvarna for a beta?
Got a quote on it.
Why would you do that? Because then you're going to eventually miss it.
I got 4,000 miles on my Husky.
You know, you
can folks, that's like when the ashtray fills up. It's time to get a new one.
Yeah. My ashtray is overflowing.
In.
Yeah.
It's just
but hey, you know what? You're the one that's got to live with it. My heart breaks every time I sell something.
You'll probably sell it to
mine
my husband.
Mine too, and then a week later I forgot about it.
You forgot about it.
I loved my RM250 so much, and I finally sold it, and like, it's gone a couple days, and like, it's out of my mind.
Crazy.
Better man than me.
Me too, because I still think about my original Ford F-150, my first truck I bought myself.
My old van is gone. My old bikes are gone.
He's the kind
of
guy.
Have like two motorcycles I wish I'd kept. And I've had probably 70 motorcycles.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm proud of you. All right, let's take a quick break. You are listening to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Hey, this segment is brought to you by the Wise Ox Butcher Shop and Pantry. Well, I tell you what, man, a nice big deli sandwich from those guys right now would be tasty. But if you're looking for large chunks of meat, they've got the best. They've got a full-blown butcher shop, premium beefs.
I thought you were going to say the tomahawk. Oh, God, they have the aged tomahawk.
Do they really?
Oh, God, it was so, I just.
Two locations. You got to go check them out. The one that's closest to me, 2855 El Cajon Boulevard in San Diego. Just Google Wise Ox Butcher Shop and Pantry. All right. So you were speaking about.
We talked
off
about
air. I don't know if we're allowed to talk on air air.
No,
you know, half the time we say it's a better show off air than on air.
Oh, yeah. We have to be careful off air.
Yeah. Make sure
like all the great stuff comes out, and then the mic goes hot, and I forgot. Well, I can't. Really
I know
say
that's
it.
What I just got my big old eyes.
So let's go over a couple little things. The Rubicon Trail is now open again. It closed a week or so ago. A couple weeks ago.
Over a month. It was closed before December.
December 28th.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I was gonna say before Christmas.
I think it was Placer County closed it, and we were questioning the criteria because they didn't really do a proper analysis.
Yeah, they didn't run through the criteria that they
stuff they're supposed to look for. Anyway, they opened it. They had a 60-day window to keep it closed, and they went ahead and opened it. So I'm taking them off the bad guy list.
Well, they're just under their 60 days, in my opinion, because I think it was just before Christmas. So
it was
a couple weeks
December
before.
28th.
Was it?
I saw the thing.
Okay.
That's in like less than 5 weeks. 5 weeks about.
That's
so
good because they were saying that it was because of water on the trail
they have a problem with erosion and they need to keep erosion to a minimum, but the whole thing is frozen right now, so there's no water running. You'd be crazy to go do it now. It's frozen, it's cold, the traction is bad. I mean, it'd be easy to get stuck out there and
it's so much fun. I don't know what you're talking about. It's one of the best times to go do it right now when it's snowed over.
Okay, you go do it. I'm going to go ride my motorcycle in the desert where it's warmer. Johnson Valley closure dates, August 18th through 28th of 2023 this year. and February 15th through 27th of 2024. And you might remember I wrote comments specifically asking them not to close it during three-day weekends for the general public. And they clearly went against that. They wrote me a letter back saying, well, we appreciate what you said, but we're going to do what we need to do for our blah, blah, blah. So, okay, whatever. There's a meeting February 16th I intend to be in on, off-highway vehicle access project. Some of you may remember, was it a year ago, 2 years ago? 2 years ago, Kathy, our old lobbyist, helped us get some language in a big bill, SB 155, which said that since we were losing the expansion land at Carnegie, we were going to get some other opportunities. So this meeting is to discuss getting these other opportunities.
Yes.
It's going to be February 16th, and I'm kind of looking forward to that. Okay, here's one that's interesting. I got an email from a guy, and he says, I'm part of a group called Legend Detectives, and we research some of the great legends of the West, such as the Peg Leg Smith Lost Mine and the Lost Ship in the Desert stories. We are at the point where we're going to start filming some short reels that are going to be used to pitch the show to the History Channel and the Discovery Channel. Maybe some other platforms. But there are a few places where we need to film that are difficult to get to, and we need an off-road vehicle to help us. So we're asking your club if you can help us find some people that'll go out and take us from the street out to the place they want to film on February 13th. I believe that's a Monday.
Yeah.
It's a week from tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yes. So
my husband's probably listening. He more than likely will do it.
KJ might want to do it. And I asked Rick and Doug on an email if they would want to do it. And hopefully they, I want to hear back from them. And if we don't have enough for them, I want to do a mass email and see if people will help. So these two things that I mentioned, Peg Leg Smith Lost Mine. Peg Leg Smith was kind of a scoundrel in the old days. And a horse thief. And what do they call a guy that leads groups across the desert? Not a tracker, but
an outlaw.
like if somebody like wants to go from one place to another in the old horse days, just like a guide. He was a guide, and he had guided a group across the desert, and somewhere in the Borrego Valley, Ocotillo Wells Borrego Valley, he picked up a couple of interesting stones. And when he got to San Francisco, he took them to a specialist to look at them, and they were gold. There's like gold covered with this black stuff. And he never could remember where he picked up those stones. And there's a legend that somewhere out there is a field with rocks on it that are actually gold. So that's the Peg Leg Smith legend. And then there's another legend about the lost ship in the desert.
I've heard that one.
Where the Colorado River used to take a different... a different line,
passage, yeah.
A different way,
yeah.
And that an old ship tried to go up and got grounded, and then it was like partly covered in blowing sand and
yeah, because the Colorado River went out to the sea before they moved.
So it ends
it
at
the,
at the Sea of Cortez.
Yes,
but it hasn't always taken the same route. It, like over the eons of time,
erosion
changes course a little bit. So there's this legend that there's a ship out there, and this guy, they've contacted us before trying to figure out if anybody in our group had ever heard of it or knew where it was. I don't know. I hadn't really heard about it. If who knows what it is. So if anybody out there wants to help with a four-wheel drive, contact info@sdorc.org. And we'll hook you up with them February 13th. You can have a little adventure, and maybe you and your vehicle will be on the TV show. What fun that would be.
Yeah.
There was a 30-30 meeting I attended a week ago, 30-30 initiative. That's where there's two 30-30s. There's a California one and there's the national one.
Federal level.
Where they want to protect 30% of the land and water by the year 2030. And there's so much wrong with this. And like how do you define protected? And what is included and what isn't included. And I talked to the people and I got a definition of what's protected. And then I've looked at the map and what is actually on the map. There's lots and lots of land that is not included. And it's infuriating to me. And that if we did an accurate assessment, there'd probably be 35% of the land is already protected. So they had a meeting and it was just this big kumbaya and everybody was so positive about it. And it was just making me crazy.
Yeah, because they want to go green, but at the same time, they're shutting down our mines. And what do you got to take to go green? Yeah, you got to mine the lithium. You got to mine the cobalt.
We want electric cars. But we can't have a copper mine. We can't have a lithium mine. We can't have a one of those heavy exotic metal mines.
No.
Makes me crazy.
You can't mine at all.
So I went on that meeting, and I don't know. I mean, I'm going to keep following it, and if there's any time we can do something, we're going to work on that. Off-highway vehicle access project. Did I talk about on the
you
air
did,
or was
but
that
I,
on the,
you,
off the air?
No, you talked remember. About that on the air, but you mentioned it really quickly and you moved on to peg leg before I could even
fun.
Ask because
okay.
you didn't say who was putting the project on. So you have an upcoming meeting, which is next week on February 16th, which is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday the 16th.
All right, thanks. That helps
yeah.
me to remember.
Thursday the 16th is going to be the Off-Highway Vehicle Access Project meeting for developing a new potential SVRA area because we lost Carnegie State
or,
Vehicular, right? The expansion area of the
right,
3,000
right.
areas, which was specifically supposed to be a 4x4. Because most of Carnegie is dirt bike, motorcycle, two-wheel. And there's not very many four-wheel. There's not very many ATV trails or
yes.
or 4x4 trails, basically. So, you know, and they forced our hand. We lost that one. But at the same time, they're supposed to look at potentially giving us another area. I know what was discussed before Kathy Lynch had passed and what was added into that bill was potentially 10 to 12,000 acres of Henry Co. Because there is a perfect area, which is part of Henry Co. Henry Co. State Park is up near Sacramento, just south of it, what,
it's
like
it's
45 minutes to an hour south?
It's not that far from Carnegie. It's south of Carnegie. It's in that same region.
Okay.
And it's about halfway.
87,000 acres itself?
It's a huge park.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like an 80,000 acre, maybe more. And they want to take some of those trails and allow them to be for off-road vehicle use, green sticker use.
I mean, so I know that that's something
I was
that
out
we,
there, and it made perfect sense to me. We drove around and looked around like, yeah, that could be an off-road trail. No problem.
So we definitely need people to attend. We need voices here for this meeting on February 16th.
I think it's State Parks is putting on the meeting.
And how are they going to get access to it?
I don't know. Email me at info@sdrc.org, and I will dig it out of my email.
Okay.
Because I got an email invitation to it, so I put that down here.
Okay.
I will be
got?
There. What else we got? We got
become a member of
yeah,
SDORC. www.sdorc.org. Download and listen to us if you miss us on any time.
Oh, you can hear
get
us.
Get involved
huh?
and get active. Get out and adventure. King of the Hammers is this week. Hopefully I get to take off Friday
oh,
and head
I
out.
I hope you can make it. You better hurry.
OMG. It's, King of the Motos was
started.
Friday.
You can't go. You're going to stay home.
I can't off-road.
Oh, you got
so
you can't off-road.
I know, but
so
I'm going
like
out the
going
weekend
to the,
after.
That's like going to a cake store and not
Desert
have a piece
Cleanse
of cake.
Is hosting a cleanup after, and I told him I would be there. So I'm going to go out to the lake bed, but
yeah.
I'm not going to do much on the lake bed, you know, but
no.
I'll be able
well,
to help
be,
with the
there'll
particulars.
There'll be no bumps, so you'll be
no.
fine.
Yeah.
All right. All right, folks, hey, don't go anywhere. The San Diego Automotive Museum radio show is coming up next, but this is SDORC FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit sdorc.org. That's sdorc.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.